Greg Gutfeld, otherwise known as The One. I am delighted to have this person on this podcast. I will give you two hints. I consider her a friend, a deadly friend, because she slays me. I could keep going with this because she is pretty in, she is pretty in pink, and especially on her day off, where you're wondering where your car is. I just dropped five names, Christy, of your movies. It's Christy Swanson. She was in Deadly Friend. She was the original Buffy the Vampire Slayer. She was in Ferris Bueller's Day Off. She was in Dude, Where's My Car? She was in Hot Shots. She was like my entire kind of like 80s/90s, right?
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you, Greg?
I'm great. I feel like I know you because this is the only redeeming value of Twitter is that you can make friends with people. Otherwise, because it usually makes you really, Twitter can make you angry 80% of the time, you know, but then there's the other 20% where nice things happen. So I got to meet
you. Yeah, you can connect.
Exactly. And I get to connect with somebody who maybe 20, with God, gee whiz, 1986 was when Deadly Friend came out, right? I think that's about right.
Yes. Well, yeah. We shot it. We shot it in 86, yes, and it came out in 86.
Yeah, you were like 10 years old.
I was 16.
You were 16. So we actually, I get to say this, and this is so disingenuous, that you and I worked on the same movie together, even though you were the star of it, and I was an intern doing PR for Warner Brothers in at Berkeley. So I was in charge of getting out flyers and getting people to come to a Deadly Friend screenings. And so mm-hmm. I had to get a buddy of mine had a hearse, and I know this is such a weird story, but it was like so I got this hearse and we were going to hand out flyers, but then he backed out, so I ended up using a friend's station wagon, and it looked so stupid, and we put posters of you all over the car and just hung out on campus. It was me and this girl Anna Duckler. We were both Warner Brothers interns. She's now a real estate agent in Berkeley, but I moved on to this, and I owe it, I think. Mm-hmm. I think I owe it all to you, my deadly friend.
Well, it's like that, what's that saying, the 6 degrees of yeah. Kevin Bacon, where you know, everyone's connected in the business somehow. So
yeah.
It's so great.
Yeah,
Thank you for doing the flyers.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
I think I really helped. You know, that movie's interesting. Came out, it's Wes Craven, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it was after Nightmare on Elm Street, and it wasn't like Nightmare on Elm Street, was it? It was pretty different.
No, in fact, it was based on a book called Friend.
Mm-hmm.
And then the guy who wrote the movie Ghost, Bruce Joel Rubin,
mm-hmm.
he wrote the screenplay for Friend. And this was the movie that Wes was going to make with Warner Brothers. And then about halfway through filming, or I don't know, 3 weeks in, Warner Brothers was like, this isn't going to fly. We need to add more gore, blood, dreams, you know, nightmares, blah, blah, blah. And so it kind of made a turn.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
My favorite part of the movie, besides you, of course, is you had the guy who voiced BB, Charles Fleischer.
Yes.
Charles Fleischer is kind of a – I don't know if he's aware that he's kind of a bizarre cult figure. Did you ever – have you met him, right?
Oh, yeah. I've known him a long time. We've actually – we did a movie together many years later called Ground Control with Kiefer Sutherland.
Mm.
And, so I've known him a really long time, and he was the one who reminded me that he was the voice of BB in the movie. And most people know him as Roger Rabbit.
Exactly.
Just the voice of Roger Rabbit.
So this guy, he was the voice of Roger Rabbit. He was also the guy that used to bug Vinnie Barbarino in Welcome Back, Kotter. He was the other guy with the kind of curly hair. He was kind of a
mm-hmm.
He was the jerk in Welcome Back, Kotter. But I thought his best thing he did was on Zodiac. He played, the character. He played in Zodiac. It was a guy named Bob. He was this weird guy that was in a house, and Jake Gyllenhaal had to go there and visit him and look at posters. He was so creepy. He was so wonderful.
Yeah, I love him. He's a great guy. He's super fun.
And
he is very out there. He says some stuff that you go, what? You know, he's incredibly smart and knows a lot of things.
I have to get him on my show or do a podcast to find him.
Oh, absolutely. He would love it.
I will use you as my contact.
Okay.
But you know what's –
not a problem.
It's interesting because we met because we share political – I think we share a lot of political beliefs. You know, and that's always – I think it's always kind of a surprise or a relief when you find somebody who is in Hollywood who doesn't think like everybody else. And you don't think like everybody else. And I'm just wondering, what's that like for you out there, you know?
Well, how it was for – I mean, I was born and raised in Orange County, so I was kind of – raised conservative anyway.
Yeah.
And then got into the business when I was 9. And I learned very quickly, being around Hollywood at a very young age, to keep my mouth shut, I guess,
yeah.
Or just to not have, or when I voiced an opinion, I got a weird look. So I just learned to be quiet for many, many, many years.
Mm.
And then when I got older and became a mom and politics and world and our country, just everything just was more, became more focal and more important to me.
Mm-hmm.
I started meeting more conservatives in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And so I felt comfortable and safe and people, you know, some folks that I could talk to and so, yeah. And then this last year, yeah, I just kind of came out.
Yeah, you did.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't hide it at all anymore. And it's interesting, but you know, I, you know, you must, when you did Buffy, I mean, that was written by Joss Whedon? And he is a hardcore leftist. So that is something that you probably had to, I don't know, deal with when you were young, and you were probably too intimidated, I would imagine, to ever, not intimidated, but like.
You know, I don't recall any of that being a part. Like,
yeah.
He and I were buddies on the set. Like, yeah. We never talked politics back then.
Yeah.
So, you know.
But now,
we never got into that.
Now,
but
he's the opposite of you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
Now, do you have a special group of like I mean, I belong to FOA, which is the Friends of Abe thing, which is used to be secret, but I don't think it's secret anymore.
I think it still is.
Oh, really? Whoops. I don't know. You know what, though? I've seen you know, I've seen articles on it, and I kind of realized – I think the Times did a piece on it a couple of years ago, and I figured, it's kind of well-known.
Mm-hmm.
But, there are more people –
Yeah, there's no secret that there are conservatives in Hollywood. I mean, you have a lot of people that are, you know, out and talking, and then there's a lot that are not. And the reason why they don't is because it's, you know, it can be taboo or – it could be hurtful to your career if you're out. And I think that's just ridiculous and silly. But, you know, hopefully there will be a change here in the next couple of years and everyone will just learn to get along, you know.
Yeah. And I do think with Trump being so different that it's kind of, people are switching in the sense of what is considered rebellious. Like you're now a rebel because you're like it used to be. In the 70s and the 80s, if you were a left winger, somehow that was a romantic, radical notion. But I feel like it's being reversed because it takes a certain kind of radical mind to say, hey, I'm for Trump and I don't care. Right? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. I mean, I guess so. To me, it just seems normal because I've been conservative my whole life.
Yeah.
So, you know, I just wasn't. You know, like I said, I was just very, very, you know, quiet about it.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love my Ronald Reagan because he was president of, you know, the Screen Actors Guild, too.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. I met him years ago. Well, obviously years ago. Like in 1987 or 88, my boss had a dinner and he came over to his house for dinner. And I met him in – it was in McLean, Virginia, and I was a huge, you know, I idolized him because I grew up in Northern California, and I went to shake his hand, nothing came out of my mouth but like nonsense words. It was so embarrassing. It was just like he looked at me like there was like maybe he probably thought like isn't it nice that they brought him along, like I was like I don't know, but it was just so and then I kind of just walked away. And so that was my only moment, and then I ate his dinner, which I've talked about before, when he left his dinner and he only ate half the chicken, and so I took his plate and ate the rest of it because I figured I actually ate, like, technically his DNA or – did we know what – I don't even know if we knew what DNA was back then. I'm not sure, but there was, like, he had touched this and I had eaten it. So it was kind of like I transferred the power to me, and then I became – I don't know. I like
– I'm very jealous that you got to meet him. That's someone I would love to meet. Yeah. And eat his leftover chicken dinner.
Exactly. Exactly. Every time I see pictures of you, you're on motorcycles. Are you like a – you're a biker, aren't you?
I am. I haven't been riding a super long time. Like, since 2009, I've been riding.
Yeah.
And I love it. I do, like, I do a lot of charity rides. I do veterans charity rides, Sturges, go out, support those guys, and firemen and all that stuff. So I love riding. It's a lot of fun. It's something my husband and I do together. So
are you like a careful safety? Like, do you wear the helmet and you're like, you don't go too fast? You don't pull wheelies or anything?
Yeah, no, I don't crack my pipes or go crazy or anything like that. I mean, and plus in California, you have to wear a helmet.
Yeah, that's a good thing. You know, I think it's a smart
thing. Especially when lane splitting.
And I just wear a helmet wherever I go now, just to be safe. Because my brain... My brain is so precious. I just don't want anything to happen to it. You know, I have to ask you about, like, I don't know if you ever get tired of it, but I got to ask you about some of the movies you did and some of the people. Because you were in you starred with Charlie Sheen in Hot Shots. I mean,
yeah. Well, the first film we were ever in together was Ferris Bueller.
Right. That's right.
And then Hot Shots. Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot he was in Ferris Bueller, Charlie Sheen. He was.
Oh my gosh. He was. He had a scene with Jennifer Grey in the police station.
Yes.
And he was all either drunk or wigged out. I don't know. Like sitting in the police station. It was hilarious. It was one of the best scenes of the movie.
My God, I can't believe I've forgotten that. I haven't seen Ferris Bueller in years, and it's always on. Like, it's always on some channel. Who was the most surprisingly nicest person you've met in Hollywood? Like, when you were young, you know, in all of these movies, you started with Ashton Kutcher and Sheen and Broderick.
Oh, my gosh. The nicest person?
The reason why I'm asking that question is so I can ask the opposite question. This is my little trick. So I always ask the positive question first, and then I go, now, who is the biggest jerk in Hollywood?
Oh, I see. Yeah, you know that I'm not going to reveal that.
I know. I was trying.
I don't really need to, really, you know?
Yes.
I think we know who they are.
Yes, I do.
but I would say Suzanne Plachet was one of my favorites.
Oh, I loved her.
I worked with her. Yeah, she was amazing.
She was obviously Bob Newhart's show, but also she was in The Birds, one of the greatest movies ever. With Tippi Hedren. By the way, do you know Tippi Hedren? You should. She emails me once in a while. She lives in an animal sanctuary in Southern California, but she watches Fox, and she doesn't email me as much, but she would tell me, and I ended up talking to her. For a while, I called her up, and we just talked about stuff. And I was like, I can't believe I'm talking to Tippi Hedren. I mean, like—
That is so cool.
Yeah, and it was interesting. But she's really into animals, you know?
Yeah, I haven't gotten to know her. I've heard her name, though, you know, around some friends and stuff, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so cool. But Suzanne was one of my favorites because she was just mouthy and funny and, you know, just really took me under her wing. And Wes Craven was another one that was just so lovely. I just loved him so much.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of great ones out there.
So do you stay in touch with everybody, or is this like I always – my vision of this world is that everybody – it's like one giant high school that you never graduate from. You just keep seeing the people. Like you're – oh, there, I remember him. Or you go when you get coffee, you run into an old co-star.
Yeah, definitely. You do a lot run into people, especially at Comic-Cons. You run into a lot of old friends, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Do you get freaked out?
Those are always fun.
Do you get freaked out at Comic-Con by people that are a bit too obsessed?
No, I'm pretty good at handling it, you know. I mean, I get flattered by, you know, if I touch somebody's life in some sort of way with a role that I played or a movie I was in, then I, you know, I feel good about it. And that's why I'm there, to meet them. That's why I love Twitter, because I like to talk to fans. It's like the new fan mail, you know. You can just talk directly to people and answer any questions that they have. So I don't get too freaked out. If someone wants to wear, you know, a Batman costume or whatever, and, you know, that's their favorite character, and they walk around in, you know, costumes, that's what it's all about. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun for them.
But it's true. You know, it is surreal on Twitter to, like, you know, all of us, you know, because, like, I was going, Christy Swanson just followed me. And that made me a little happy, very happy. And mm-hmm. then I follow you, and then you say hello, we say hello, and I go, like, wow, this is the person that, like, was the star of a movie that I was an intern on. And just that, like, kind of blew my mind, because about, like, how these things come around.
I know.
You know?
And then I'm following you, and then tweeting you, and geeking out, and, you know.
It's so funny.
It's funny how, yeah, the tables turn.
I know. Now you're going to have to put posters of me on friends' cars. I don't think that'll ever
happen. Sure.
I don't think that'll ever happen.
I'll do that. I'll pass out Greg Gutfeld flyers, no problem.
Yes. So what are you working on now? Is there anything that we can look forward to seeing you in?
Well, I have 4 movies in the can, actually, right now.
Wow.
I did a Lifetime movie last year, supposed to come out this year. I don't know the release date. But it's called A Mother's Sacrifice. And then I did a cause film about sex trafficking with Dean Cain, mm-hmm. and it's called A Parent's Worst Nightmare. Mm-hmm. And then I did, I have a teen-like comedy coming out this summer called Crowning Jewels. And then I just did Bad Stepmother for Lifetime.
Ooh, I like that name. I like Bad Stepmother. Are you the bad stepmother?
Well, it was originally called Wicked Stepmother, but they changed the name to Bad Stepmother, and I was like, wait, now it sounds like it's a comedy.
Yeah, because you know what they're going, like, okay, there was bad Santa, mm-hmm. I think there was bad teacher or something like that with
bad mom.
So now that's like they think that's so everybody has to think the same way. They go, okay, we got to make it bad. They should do a movie called Bad Dean Cain.
It would never work.
I know. He's such a sweetheart.
He's the nicest guy in the world.
I know. He's done Red Eye probably 4 or 5 times, and I think he did the GG show. I'm pretty sure he did. I remember we taped a little skit where him and I were both trying out for 9.5 weeks, but I was doing the Kim Basinger role, and so we decided to practice. And he just played along. He's a sweet guy. So you're going to be – what's Crowning Jewels? I'm afraid to ask. What's that about?
Oh, it's these two twin girls, the teenage girls, who are they're trying to get to the prom, and they switch roles. You know, who's going to get, you know, prom queen? And they're twins, so they change parts in order to get what they want. It's, you know, it's like a silly little you know, fun, you know, teen film, and I play the villain.
Awesome! So. Isn't that great?
Yeah,
you get to play the villain. Mm-hmm. You know, where would Hollywood be without twins? Like, that is, like, such a plot point. Like, every sitcom always ends up with the twin episode. Even the Brady Bunch didn't Peter Brady run into another Peter Brady, and they switched, and the only difference was one wore glasses? I think I didn't dream this.
I think I recall that episode.
Yes. But it's like everybody has, like, the twins must, when twins are born, it must be really weird because, like, people treat you differently because you're twins, and mm-hmm. and, you know, and you are kind of like one thing, you know? It's weird.
Yeah.
You are one thing because you share something, you know, biologically mm-hmm. that you can't share with anybody else. And people then you know, people use you as evil characters in movies, like twins are always up to no good or something like that. I don't know.
Or they use them as kids in films, because then they can trade them out. They can work them longer hours that way.
That's true. That's true. So if anybody's listening,
they did that on Big Daddy.
Yes,
with Adam Sandler, that movie. You know, Cody twins or whatever. The Cody and I don't remember. They were Disney kids later on in life, but.
Which,
you know,
is always a good route.
Boys.
You know, the if people are listening to this podcast who have twin babies, just move to Hollywood, because it's a currency.
Work all the time.
They'll work all the time because they can only work like for 4 hours, so you have to bring in the other one, and nobody could tell the difference. And it's that pays for a college in high school if you go to a private school.
Totally.
Christy, I've kept you on long enough.
Good plan.
And I know. It's such a pleasure to talk to you. And when I'm in LA, we have to meet up and get drunk somewhere. I don't know. Do you drink?
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
You know, holidays, weekends.
Oh, every day is a holiday. Somewhere. That I just coined
awesome.
That. I just coined that. Every day is a holiday somewhere. That's a T-shirt. That should be the title.
I like it.
That should be the title of this podcast with Christy Swanson. Every day is a holiday somewhere with Christy Swanson. Thank you
I
so much
it.
For putting up with me
and
my silliness.
I loved it. Thank
All right.
you so much. It was fun.
Talk to you soon, and I'll see you on Twitter.
Big kiss, big hug.
Yes. You are the okay. emoji queen.
I know. I'm bad. Okay.
See you later.
Bye. All right. Bye, dear.